From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. It's been 4 months since Alaska communities started receiving money from the state's share of federal COVID-19 relief. And even though the process is simple, more than one in four communities haven't claimed the money yet. KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman explains why.
Reginald Atkinson is the mayor of Metlakatla, where local leaders are trying to figure out how to spend more than $500,000. That's the amount the state government set aside for Metlakatla from the state's CARES Act community grants.
We have not yet arrived at that point, but the plans are in the making.
Metlakatla is one of 63 Alaska communities that haven't accepted their grants, more than a quarter of the 228 communities the state planned to give the money to. Metlakatla already received a federal grant from another category of CARES Act funding for tribal governments, and fishing businesses in the community are going to receive money from yet another batch of CARES Act funds. But when it comes to the community grants,
has it been a challenge to determine what is eligible for these expenses?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
All Alaska communities had to do to receive the first round of state funding was to sign a grant agreement and pass a resolution accepting the grants. Sandra Muller oversees the grant program as the director of the State Division of Community and Regional Affairs. She says the state has encouraged communities to take those steps to claim their funds and answered questions from local leaders as they've come up.
We've reached out at least three times to each community.
She says communities have different reasons for not accepting the grants. Some haven't had COVID-19 related expenses that would be eligible to be covered by the funding.
Obviously, every community has expenses, and these are really trying times. However, once they looked at the document and saw the eligible requirements from the federal treasury, they chose not to apply.
Another reason is some of the communities are very small, and they don't have staff to handle the grant process. Others, like Metlakatla, are tribal governments that have received other federal CARES Act payments, and some of them have had their COVID-19 costs covered by those payments. To make things even more confusing, the federal government has repeatedly updated its guidance to states and communities about what expenses are eligible for the grants. And Congress could further expand what expenses are eligible if it can agree on another relief bill. This has left communities with a lot of uncertainty. Nils Andreasen, the executive director of the Alaska Municipal League, has been helping local leaders with the grants. He says the federal government has increased the amount of information communities must provide to receive the money.
So there's a process involved, and every even just little step for a small community is a challenge. And like that's what we're doing right now is for all of those that are on the list who haven't requested those funds, we're walking through with each and every one of them, here's how to do this, here's what to do, how can we help?
Andreasen says most municipalities are devoting their grants to relief payments to local businesses and other organizations. Federal guidelines prevent communities from using the grants to make up for lost revenue.
I think we'll come to the end of this process with communities that are still in dire straits based on lost revenue. And for as much as CARES Act funds will have helped them through this period, there's going to be significant challenges ahead of us.
Any money that communities don't spend by December 30th must be returned to the federal government. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Alaskans living in the tiny village of Hyder are chafing against Canada's border rules that restrict travel to much of the outside world. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the COVID-19 quarantine rules are preventing the community's children from seeing their friends or attending school in BC, just a few miles down the road.
At the southeastern tip of Alaska's panhandle lies the curious town of Hyder. The unincorporated community is on BC time, has a 250 area code, gets its electricity from BC Hydro, and is linked to Canada's highway system. But for all that, it is Alaska territory.
There's about 65 of us. The only way we get supplies is through a mail plane that comes in from Ketchikan twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, weather permitting.
Wes Lowe is the Hyder Community Association's president. He acts as an unofficial mayor. Most residents buy groceries and fuel and other supplies in Stewart, BC, which is just over the border. For more than a century, that was a mere formality, as Canadian border guards would often wave people through. But then came COVID-19.
Since March, we can only go to Stewart once every 7 days for 3 hours to get whatever we need.
About 400 people live in Stewart, BC, and they largely consider Hyder's Alaskans a part of their community. A cross-border committee has been working to ease travel restrictions.
So the name of our committee is the Hyder Alaska and Stewart, BC COVID-19 Action Committee.
Jennifer Jean is Hyder's co-chair on that committee. The group has written letters to Canadian officials asking to relax the rules because of Hyder's unique situation.
We have no amenities in Hyder. We have no gas stations, no grocery stores, no medical facilities.
There's no school either. Enrollment dropped below 10 students this year, leading the Southeast Island School District to shutter Hyder's one-building schoolhouse. But there was a workaround. Hyder's 5 school kids would be enrolled in Bear Valley School in Stewart.
It's a little bit tough because, like, there is only 5 school-age kids, and their friends are just right across that border.
Two of them are Nick Corpola's daughters.
So we were kind of promising them, they didn't get to see them all summer, but we promised them that, they're going to get to go to school and see their friends then. And 2 days before school started, we got a call from the CBSA, the Canadian Customs, and they said that they were not going to allow the children through the border.
Corpola says his girls haven't left Hyder since March, except for 1 5-hour visit to Ketchikan. So they've been looking forward to a change of scenery.
I was kind of sad. I was like, oh great, one more thing to not be able to do.
Hilma Corpola is 10 years old and starting the 5th grade. Now her mother is preparing homeschool with her younger 8-year-old sister, but she says it's not the same.
Hyder gets a bit lonely.
Jennifer Jean also has 2 school-age children.
It's really, really hard on them. That was the light at the end of the tunnel for them, was to be able to see their friends again.
BC's provincial officials are sympathetic. Here's Dr. Bonnie Henry, the top official leading the province's pandemic response. She told reporters in August she thinks it'd be reasonable to loosen border restrictions for Alaskans living in Hyder.
I mean, I think it sounds like a reasonable plan. My only concern, of course, is that we've started to see dramatic increases in cases in the last month in Alaska, and I know that that's been a challenge for my counterpart, who I talk to regularly from Alaska.
It's important to add context here. U.S. and Canada COVID-19 numbers are starkly different. Canada has had almost 9,200 reported deaths. Compare that to the U.S. nearing the 200,000 mark. BC has about 1,000 more COVID cases than Alaska, but the province has more than 7 times Alaska's population. There have been no reported cases of COVID-19 in either town, but with no medical clinic in Hyder, there hasn't been any testing either.
The larger border situation remains very worrisome for many Canadians, and there's strong support for keeping the Canada-U.S. border closed as long as we need to, given the stark difference in the situation on either side of the border.
Taylor Backrack is a Canadian member of Parliament representing Northwest BC, including Stewart. He's thrown his weight behind his constituents who want the border open to their neighbors in Hyder. Since then, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy and provincial officials in BC have also asked the federal government in Ottawa for leniency.
You know, at this point, it feels like there's pretty strong support for some sort of solution. So I'm curious why it's taking so long to put something in place.
So far, it's not to be. In a statement to Coast Alaska on Thursday, a spokesperson for Public Safety Minister Bill Blair says as of August 7th, school kids living in the U.S. are prohibited from attending school in Canada as they are subject to a mandatory 14-day quarantine. Residents in Hyder and Stewart haven't given up. They're advocating for what they're calling the bear bubble that would create a shared space for residents in both communities and exempt them from the quarantine rules. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Race officials say the 2021 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race is still on, and 61 mushers have already signed up for the 1,000-mile competition. The race organization says it will work with an infectious disease epidemiologist to develop a plan for holding the Iditarod during the pandemic. Iditarod mushers and their sled dogs are expected to start the race in early March and head for Nome. Many of the details of the race, including whether teams will stop in remote communities along the way, are still being decided. Race officials say they are creating a plan with options to account for, quote, various permutations of the pandemic. Alaska's other 1,000-mile race, the Yukon Quest, has morphed into just a 300-mile race that won't cross the border into Canada. This is KTOO News.